Welcome to the For Those Who Inquired podcast. I am your host, Edward Marlowe, and a couple of huge racer news items that have come across the desk over the last couple of weeks, and we'll get with Neil Bradley later on to talk about these. Obviously, unfortunately, the season-ending injury to John Morant, former Murray State racer, really unfortunate situation. I believe it was a subluxation of his right shoulder that led to a torn labrum, and I hate it. It makes me really sad inside. And then, of course, Murray State football has hired a new coach following Dean Hood's retirement and move back to UK. And it's Jody Wright, tight ends coach from South Carolina. He's a terrific resume. We'll dive more into that in a later podcast. But right now, I've got a special guest at my kitchen table here in Murray, Kentucky. The evening, it is 7:30 on January the 10th, 2024. And former Marshall County basketball star, Colby Schroeder. Yeah, former. Is that fair?
Yeah, I don't know about star. I'd say player.
Well, no,
former Marshall County player.
Okay. Well, hold on a second, because I didn't tell you this before the podcast, but I wanted to. I got your stats right here. Mm-hmm. Your senior year, so you were Okay, so you were eighth on the team. Listen, no. Hold on. Yeah. Okay. So you were actually one of five guys that scored eight or more points a game that year. It was Cole Sedlock, Cole Mills, Wade Moore, Quinn Smith, and you. Mm-hmm. You made the most threes on the team. I would assume that was your role.
Like, I was coming out. Not really a 3-and-D guy, but more of like a 3-and-rebound guy, stretch four. You know, space them out.
So, sir, are you 6'4", 6'5"?
6'4". I'd say 6'4".
Yeah. Hey, I'm in shoes, 6'5".
Six, maybe.
Yeah. You did lead the team in rebounding with 4.9 rebounds per game. Just wanted to throw out some KHAA stats at you before we have you on here for a much different reason. We're going to talk about a lot of different things, but obviously I just like to reflect on that. That was a pretty cool 21-22 boys basketball season. Your class of 22?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
It was a fun year. We played pretty well.
You had a tough schedule.
Everybody never gives Marshall no credit. I know I'm a Marshall by heart, but
well, sure.
Birdsong used to make some of the toughest schedules out there. Like the year we had Zion, there wasn't really anybody in Kentucky that had a harder schedule as we did.
No.
The 2020 season.
Yeah.
But for 2022, I love my boys, Quinn, all them, Talon, Sedlock, Riley, all them guys, but
you had a good senior class.
Callaway just had our number. And me and Jonah Butler and Jarrett Darnell and Jackson Chapman, we all talk all the time. Sometimes Callaway, when they play you, they just don't miss threes.
Oh, look at what just happened.
Yep, they just beat McCracken last night.
By not missing threes.
By not missing threes, yep.
And they're great in the Jeff anyway.
Oh, yeah. I swear, every time I played at that gym, I don't think I ever won over there. One time.
It's tough.
Zion had 50, and we still got beat the one year. Had 50 points at Jeff and got beat.
I remember that. I believe I was still at the Sun at the time, but that was a box score that came in, and it was like Zion scores 50, Marshall's lose anyway. Yeah. And I was like, what are you going to do? And I'm not, no disrespect, yeah. It's just like, what do you do at that point? Like, you literally got him his shots, everybody got their shots, mm-hmm. and it's like you still. Callaway just has magic in the Jeff.
Callaway hit theirs too.
Yeah, and that happens. I mean, it's crazy you mentioned that, and we'll talk a little bit about First Region basketball a little bit later. But I think really before we, the main reason that I've got you on the podcast is there's something really special going on at the end of this month in January, and I just love to get your thoughts on this card show. We'll get into card collecting mm-hmm. and sports memorabilia collecting a little bit later, but I just in this moment. First and foremost, I can remember when card shows used to be at the boat show, mm-hmm. In Murray, and the boat show's actually coming up relatively soon. I know that's a really popular event in Western Kentucky at the CFSB Center, but maybe just walk us through what's actually about to happen it's at the Kerr Center yep. at the end of this month. Maybe walk us through kind of what you've been promoting for the last few months.
So it all started back in probably about July, right before I was going to go to the National Card Show I have a little crew that goes with me, my dad and a couple of his buddies, and we're all going there. We're like, man, when's the last card show that's happened in Western Kentucky? And so we were sitting there trying to figure out, and my dad, he used to put on ones in Old Racer Arena. He used to go to ones that, he said, Callaway County High School had one back in the day.
Oh, wow, that would have been amazing.
He said Marshall County High School had one of the better shows he's been to ever. at Marsh County High School in their gymnasium. And we're like, when's the last one been to Murray? And he started doing his little math in his head. And he said probably about 25, 30 years. Because they used to have one in the old hotel across from Tom's Grill.
Yeah, okay.
There used to be a lobby there. They had a little 20-table card show. And I was like, man, why don't I just put on a card show in Murray? And so I got in contact with some people at the Kerr Center, which we're going to have it on the third floor ballroom. And
what weekend?
January 27th. So that is, I think that's the last weekend of January.
Yep.
And okay. It's going to be about 42 tables. They just added me five more. So it's going to be a pretty decent-sized card show.
So wait, they just added five more tables?
I just added five more tables.
You did. Okay. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
I plan on, after this one, hopefully all goes well, but I want the next one to be about 60, 70. So as long as the people keep coming to these, I'm going to keep having them. It's kind of my plan, but it's really more for like your average collector who don't have time to go to Nashville or Louisville or Lexington to go see all these card shops and big card shows. It's kind of like a thing for the more of a community aspect more than a way for these dealers to come make money. Like I have dealers coming down from Nashville who I'm good friends with, and they're like, I don't even care if I sell a thing. I just like hanging out in Murray sometimes. It's a nice little small town. I just like coming here and enjoying my time here. So.
So is it just the 27th or is it?
It's just the 27th.
That's a Saturday.
Yeah, it's a Saturday.
Perfect day for it.
Saturday. School's going to be back in. College kids going to be on campus. I was really hoping for that because I wanted people walking by. Man, what's going on up there on the third floor? I hear a bunch of people talking. I got to go check it out.
Yeah.
And that's how you get people into the hobby. That's how you grow people collecting and all those sorts of stuff. But it's going to be the January 27th from 10 to 4. Third floor Kerr Center in the small ballroom.
Okay. So, I mean, you're talking about nice compact area, lots of different things being sold. What type of things do you think will probably be offered? I mean, because collecting, as you well know, and we'll talk a little bit about that later, but collecting can be nickel cards to priceless. What do we see? What do we see?
There's going to be dealers there with all Pokemon. So, I mean, you can bring your little brother there, your little sister, any younger kids. I mean, I know grown adults do Pokemon.
I'm a 38-year-old man who still has his original Pokemon card collection. I've got some legendary creatures. But, yeah, what else is available?
Magic the Gathering. I know I'm going to bring some from my grandpa's shop, the Wizard of Sports Cards in Murray, Kentucky, which is on the square, if any of y'all want to go check it out. But from price-wise, there's going to be guys there with all nickel cards, dollar cards, and then for your higher-end collectors, there's going to be guys there set up with $1,000 cards. I know there's one guy coming. He's good friends with my dad from Marshall County, and he probably – I'd put his Cardinal collection up of anybody. He probably has 60,000 in Yadier Molina cards.
Wow.
He probably has the highest-end Cardinal collection I've ever seen in my own eyes. And I've seen a bunch going to St. Louis shows and everything, and he has got some heat.
Well, and I want to talk more about this show, but I kind of want to bring that up. You talk about this promotion of the hobby, something that I actually wrote about during COVID, and I'd love to get your opinion on. Do you think card collecting has actually ramped up? Because you're if I'm doing my math right here, you're 21?
21 next month.
Next month. We're close. We're almost there. Yeah. That's what. Okay. So you've been collecting since you were probably what? Old enough to open a pack, 5, 4.
I didn't know what I was doing, but yeah, probably,
sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've been collecting for at least 15 years. Mm-hmm. I can remember the very first cards that I ever got as well. 1989 Tops, mm-hmm. actually. My mom was buying them as an antique dealer at the Nashville Flea Market. Yep. Very first card she ever bought me was the 89 Fleer. I still have it, and it's gold screw down.
Oh, yeah.
And they tell you now not to screw stuff down.
No. Mm-hmm.
They didn't know that in 89. No. It's still in my screw down, but I have an 89 untouched Griffey rookie. Mm-hmm. And it's the Fleer. It's not the, I have the sexy one. Yep. I got the upper, we upper know, deck. Yep. The upper deck one. But I digress. It's one of those situations where, like, I get that. Mm-hmm. Like, I can, but since COVID, do you feel like, was it certain athletes that have brought about the rage of collecting? Was it the fact that we were at home during COVID that brought it back? What in your eyes has brought collecting, not just baseball and basketball cards, but just
in general
sports memorabilia and the wraparound of Magic and mm-hmm. Pokemon and all that, Yu-Gi-Oh even? What has brought collecting back in your eyes?
I think, to be honest, the flipping aspect. Like, I know I watch a lot of Gary Vee stuff. And Gary Vee, he called it from the very beginning, which I told my dad it made perfect sense. All the sneakerheads, they want to get back into something they can get a bunch of product of, it don't take as much space and it's easier to move. I think that has a big part of it. Cause
sure. And that's an economic standpoint.
Yeah. I mean, any collecting thing's a way for you to go out and make money. But from the collecting point, being at home during COVID definitely helped spiked it. Because, I mean, all these guys were sitting there at home, nothing to do. And then you have, say, little Billy over here. Dad, what's up in that? What's in the box? And he goes, oh, so that's my old card collection. And that's how you start a whole new generation of collecting.
A new genre, even. A new demographic.
Oh, yeah.
Of
yeah.
people that yeah. are just like, you know, well, I don't care if these are base cards. I want this. I want a shiny insert. It doesn't matter if it's a Patrick Ewing rerun. You know, I've got a couple of those. You know, and you and I are going to open some cards later, just while we're sitting here talking, just open some cards and see what happens. But like, I've got some Panini Prism draft picks that I'm going to later. If I get a Steph Curry, you know, rerun from his days at Davidson, I don't care. But there's a Steph Curry fan out there that might care about that.
Everybody collects something. That's what my dad always tells me. He's like, you got to think, we love Murray State guys around here, obviously.
Sure, absolutely.
There's some dude, I'm trying to think of a small school. There's some dude in California that likes California Baptist University.
Yeah, sure.
That's who he's on PC. He's like, he probably looks at you the same way you look at him. Man, why do you PC Murray State? Well, same reason you PC CBU. Like, everybody likes something. That's why sports cards brings a lot of people together because, like, let's say I'm an Austin Peay fan and you're sure. a Murray State fan. If I get a Murray State card and I hate Austin Peay, but say I like Austin Peay, I'm probably just going to give it to you because I hate Murray State.
Yeah.
So
you're willing to cross that boundary.
Yes. It helps people, bring people together, and then you build relationships. Like, I have so many more friends now than I did in high school just by going to shows and seeing the same people, hang out with different buddies, talk about sports. There's a bunch of people that like sports. And if you like sports, sports collecting is an easy thing to get into where you can support your favorite team.
And not only that, but you can actually – so I'll use this to shamefully plug. You know, there are a lot of different things that I PC. I enjoy the Murray State aspect, mm-hmm. Especially too. Athletes that I see. And I'm staring at a gorgeous – I'll just say it. I know we're not doing a video podcast, but I'll just accurately describe to you that Colby has a absolutely delectable – delightful Murray State collection, some wonderful cards. Maybe he'll even talk about a couple of them that are Murray State eccentric. They're Murray State centered. They're gorgeous cards. I like the Murray State aspect, but I like the OVC aspect because mm-hmm. I covered it. I like the MVC aspect because of the history point. Mm-hmm. I like Kentucky connections. This year alone, I bought a $35 jersey swatch of Pee Wee Reese.
Pee Wee, yep.
Because he's from Kentucky. Mm-hmm. I bought a Johnny Unitas. Off center, not in great shape. Bought it anyways for $25 because Johnny Unitas played at Louisville.
Oh yeah,
these are things, you know. I want a Rube Waddell because Rube Waddell actually spent time in spring training in Western Kentucky.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And he saved a woman from drowning in Western Kentucky mm-hmm. from the Mississippi River, and like caught like a real sickness here, and almost mm-hmm. didn't go back to Major League Baseball. Getting a Rube Waddell will be almost impossible, and we'll talk about impossible cards later, but I see what you're talking about. I love Joey Votto. I've got mm-hmm. Votto. I love Griffey. He was the kid. He's the reason why I wore the hat backwards.
Oh, yeah.
what are some things that you PC, now that I've brought that up, what are some things that you like to PC that you know, that are really unique or special to you and why?
I would say, not just from a card standpoint, but from a collecting standpoint, anything rare from Murray State. Like I got a bunch of rare Canon autographs and stuff on the cards, but more of the memorabilia side, I got Popeye Jones game worn autograph jersey. That's pretty special to me. It's got the little newspaper article where they wrote about it in the newspaper. I got one piece I got the other day. It is a Dickie V poster painted of Dickie V, and it's got the whole team on it. He came down in 2013.
Sure did.
And I got.
I was at that game.
It's got Dickie V autographed it big, and he had the biggest auto. It's probably about. How big is this table we're sitting at?
Oh, it's a pretty big table. We got six chairs.
It's probably 3/4 of this table. That's how big this poster is. And it's got Cannon on it, Daniel. Ed Daniel, he's probably my second favorite.
The fro, man. Ever.
I mean, I had my me and my cousins, we all had the big heads back in the day.
Oh yeah.
And we I still kept mine. I got Cannon, I got Dexter Fields. I love Dexter Fields.
Dexter's a good guy.
I had Dexter with Sapp.
Dexter and I talked this past summer.
Yep.
It's cool to see Sapp back as an assistant coach.
Oh yeah. Yep. I mean anything rare like jerseys, like I got Jeff Martin's game worn jersey. The one I really want, and I know a dude who had one, is a Joe Fulks
game-worn jersey. Oh, my gosh.
Yep, he had a Joe Fulks game. He wouldn't sell it, and I wasn't going to keep bothering about it. I was like, man, if you ever want to get rid of it, I'll pay up for it. Yeah, like, I got to have it.
Yeah.
Yep, but...
The inventor of the jump shot.
Oh, yeah. And most of the time, we don't get credit for it.
He doesn't get credit for it. Even though he made the 75-year All-NBA team, and is also, you know, obviously just a legendary Western Kentuckian, you talk about these Kentucky ties. I'll just mention it. Joe Fulks, to me, right now, is a relatively unaffordable card, just for me.
Yep.
You know,
48 Bowman.
I mean, a 48 Bowman of Joe Fulks is going to cost you at least $150 ungraded.
Yep.
And I've spent more than that on a card one time.
Yep.
And I just don't know if I can do that for Joe Fulks now. Fulks. And we'll, it's a beautiful card. I love the fact that it was a square. That whole set is just square.
George Mike and rookies in that one.
It's,
I mean,
yeah, it's an unbelievable set. But you talk about, it's crazy to think. I mean, Joe Fulks did meet an untimely death, which makes, you know, the rarity of it even crazier. Like, I mean, he came back and got shot in his own front yard. It was a family dispute, and that just an epic story all alone. But you talk about just how awesome of a player he was at that level.
Yeah. I mean, he was ridiculous.
And I mean, it's just crazy. It's right here. That history was here. Collecting brings me to history. I can't stand the St. Louis Cardinals. Mm-hmm. I loathe every bone in my body has a disdain for them. And Neil Bradley and I talk about that a lot. But I love Bob Gibson.
Oh, yeah.
And I absolutely have a Bob Gibson autograph. Mm-hmm. I am stashed away in a safe place right next to my John Moran autograph. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those situations where, for me, those are two things. Like, I grew up watching highlights of Bob Gibson. Like, this is what a pitcher was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And I knew that growing up as a kid. And then when I got to be old enough, like 30, 35 years old, it's like, you know, at that point I had the money, the income to buy that type of thing. I want to mention that. I want to segue into income, because one of the main things that bothers collectors today, and there are two sides to it, obviously, but it's the ripping versus the singles.
Yes. Yep.
And I wanted to get your opinion on that as well while we're here. How do you navigate the difference between, I've got to rip a box, I've got to rip a case, I've got to rip this, versus, man, I should probably just take that $100, $200, $50, $1,000, and go buy some singles that I enjoy? How do you navigate that?
The way I navigate it is, like, let's say I'm ripping a box and all I want is a Ja Morant. If I only want a Ja Morant, it's going to be better for me to go buy it. But if I want a genuinely chance to hit one of the big hits, like the new Bowman University coming out with the LeBron Superfractor Auto.
Oh, yeah, which was announced today, by the way. Yeah, perfect timing.
There's probably going to be, I'd say, a minimum of $250,000 bounty on it. I'm probably going to have to rip a box. Just because.
Just the lottery chance of it.
Just the lottery chance of it. But I'm not ripping that box expecting to hit it. It's more of a way to, like, I don't know. It's like not really relaxing, but it's hard to describe. It's almost, I'm trying to think of a nice word for it when I'm ripping. Almost like sentimental in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to remember me. Remember when you thought you could pull that card back in the day and you spent $400 on that box trying to rip that, knowing you ain't going to hit it?
And then you didn't make $400 back on the card you pulled?
No, you're not going to get it back. I also like ripping with my brother and my dad. It's a way for us to bond together, you know, like, I'm sure most people remember ripping with someone, like a friend or their father or someone like that. But for the most part, I'd say if you're wanting to get the cards you want, it's always better to buy them singles.
Just buy the single. Yeah. Do you see it graded, ungraded? There's another question there. How do you feel? Because you have some ungraded cards, lots of ungraded cards. You have several graded cards. How do you navigate about whether or not you're going to get a graded card versus an ungraded card? How do you mentally think about that?
The way I think about it is, and it's between my dad and my grandpa always instilling their card knowledge, or 60 years plus combined card knowledge in me, and it's always been, buy the card you want, not the grade. He said, only if it's vintage, you buy the grade. But like for my Canons and my Paynes and my PC stuff, they could be graded by a company like HGA or GMA that I don't even care about. I just want the card. Now, for like a vintage standpoint, the grade obviously matters.
Sure.
Like you're talking about the 89 Griffey Upper Deck.
Yep.
Raw, it's probably about $50, $60 card.
I got one for $40 2 years ago.
In a 10, it's like $2,000.
Oh, I know.
$1,800, $2,000.
Yeah, and it makes me want to cry. Yep. It makes me want to send it out and get it graded to see.
Yeah, but like, I'm not going to go buy a 10 if I want a Griffey. If you're a true collector, the cards will mean just as much to you as that 10.
Than the grade.
Yeah, 100%.
That's such an excellent point. I tell you what's really funny about that. I have a Griffey 2006 special endorsements.
Auto?
It's an auto. Mm-hmm. It's a sticker auto, which is another question. Sticker versus on card. Mm-hmm. And I know that continues to be a contentious argument. Sticker versus on card. Well, on card has a chance to bleed. Mm-hmm. On card has a chance to smear. So does sticker. And so there's always this argument of which one's worse, which one's better. And I'd love your opinion on that in just a second. But, you know, one of the best cards that I have that's of the Griffey status is not only the 89 rookie, but I have that auto from 2006. I remember I was just broke. I was so broke. I should not have bought that Griffey.
But you gave in?
I bought a $30. It was $30 in 2006 mm-hmm. because he was still playing for my beloved Cincinnati Reds. The reason why I fell in love with the Reds.
Oh, yeah.
Two reasons I fell in love with the Reds. And this is another kind of point I wanted to see if you get your thoughts on. I fell in love with the Reds because he signed with the Reds. I was mm-hmm. a Griffey fan as a kid. My mom lived in Cincinnati. My grandfather went to Xavier. I fell in love with the Big Red Machine as I got older and understood what they were actually able to do for baseball. I've got a Pete Rose autograph, you know, that I was able to snag relatively mm-hmm. cheap. It's those types of things that just connected me to that team. And now I love the Reds. I love Sean Casey. I loved Adam Dunn. I love Joey Votto. And I've got some stuff of Votto that I've got stashed away because Captain Canada, mm-hmm. as I call him, and that's why I hope he goes to Toronto. But I hope, you know, if he's not going to stay at Cincinnati, I hope that, you know, when I collect, it's like I connect with the Reds. Walk me through then at that point for you. You have PCs because you connect with these teams.
Yeah. Yeah.
But is there anybody that you fell in love with because of collecting that you're just like, because like I'm going to pick up a Victor Wembanyama. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pick up some Chet Holmgren. I'm going to pick up some Jamar Chase or some Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily love those guys, but I know they're really good and I know they're great for the game.
Mm-hmm.
How do you connect in that regard? And are there teams and players and even sports that you've fallen in love with mm-hmm. because of collecting?
I would say the one sport, I'm not a big baseball guy. I'm a big Orioles fan. Baltimore, that's where my grandpa grew up, so I'm all Baltimore squads.
Well, and not only that, you're on now.
Yeah, man, like, we're good in both for about the first time ever.
It's been a long time.
Yep, and I would say baseball would be the one thing that I got more into baseball just because my grandpa, but because I saw there was money to be made. Like, you can go watch down there in Nashville in the minor league teams. And you can go buy some random guy you see play, and it's like, man, he's tearing it up. I don't know why this kid ain't been caught up yet.
Right.
You go buy his first Bowman Chromes for $1, $2 a piece. He gets caught up. Let's say he hits about 3 or 4 homers in the first 2 weeks. That card's $20. And if you bought 100 of them, it starts adding up.
Yeah.
I would say baseball for sure. Wrestling. I'm a big wrestling collector. I didn't show y'all what I brought, but like Ultimate Warrior.
Well, oh my gosh. Guys, wow.
Guys like that, Shawn Michaels.
Okay.
I had Macho Man and Elizabeth Otto. I got rid of them. That kind of hurts me. I wish I had the Elizabeth back.
Well,
but
but you might be able to get it back later.
I know. My middle name's Hogan after Hulk Hogan.
Oh, so.
That's how my dad named. He wanted my first name to be Hogan, but my mom said Kobe. So
your mom overrules.
She overruled him. But I'd say wrestling, and I really got big into that just because, like, I didn't know they had cards at first.
I remember the East Side Boys and the WCW cards. Yep. And yellow and red. You know which boundaries I'm talking about.
91 WCW.
That fat, sans serif font, white WCW cards. Yeah, yeah.
Yep,
and I know there were other cards, but those are the ones when I was a kid growing up. Desert Storm, those two or three other types of insert sets that you could randomly get. A lot of pro set football. You could just get in a grocery store, right?
With
cigarettes, gum. Football, Desert Storm cards, right? All in that row on the way to the checkout. So I even have a few cards like that.
Yeah, I would say on the player side, though, probably Jordan. I used to think LeBron was the GOAT, and we might get in this argument later. I don't know.
Sure.
But
never know.
Jordan, after watching him and like my dad tell me stories, you know, he always said, man, Jordan, he put LeBron in the blender, man. He'd dice him up.
He would dice him
up. And
I'll end the argument.
At first, I'd argue with him.
Sure.
But now I'm an avid Jordan fan. But I wouldn't have known that if I didn't go to a show and be like, man, why is everybody like Jordan so much? You know, but like collecting, if you have an open mind, it can lead you down any path. Like Blake Wesley plays for the Spurs.
Okay.
I've been loading up on him. I got his 1-on-1 gold vinyl auto. Got it relatively cheap. That's just a chance I'm going to take. He was good for Notre Dame. It was pretty solid. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, that dude can ball. And he's on a Spurs team. But unfortunately right now, he ain't getting many minutes. But there's two ways to look at it.
You're still high on it.
Yeah. You can either, in sports cards, you can invest in like prospects. So like your rookies at like your second rounders, your late first guys that nobody's really chasing.
Yeah.
Or you can invest your money in the GOATs. You can go after your Jordans, your Kobe's, LeBron's, Tom Brady's, stuff like that. But
can you imagine pulling a sixth round Tom Brady right now back in the day?
Oh, it was nothing. I mean,
they were nothing.
They were nothing. They were literally nothing. My dad, he when they had the shop, he was talking about how there was a dude back in the day that ripped all 2000 football. And he ripped so much football, he had two complete sets of the SPX Brady's. And he said, like, they were nothing, like Tom Brady stuff. I mean, nobody even knew he was. I mean, he was just a third-string quarterback behind Drew Bledsoe.
Right.
Like, that's another thing. Like,
but that's what brings you to the collect. Like, to you're like, oh, my God, I cannot believe this happened.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's how, like, I know a guy that had a bunch of Brady's. And he liked Brady because he was from Boston. And he's like, man, I'm going to get all these Boston guys. It just so happened, 2000, he loaded up on Boston players.
Sure.
So, like, he was getting all the baseball guys through there.
You lived after Y2K. Yeah. The computers didn't blow up. Start buying cards.
He was just buying cards, and just so happened, he bought a ton of Brady's.
Mm.
And he has some nice ones. Yeah.
And so now he feels really nice. And
so he feels a little better, yep.
Yeah. But I mean, I can even say there's two ways of looking at it, too. There are three words that I always say. Mm-hmm. Stash them rooks. Mm-hmm. I stash rookie cards.
Oh, yeah.
I love rookie cards. I'm super sad about two specific years, 2003, when I graduated high school, mm-hmm. and 2013. And those are 2 years that I just didn't buy cards.
Yep.
I graduated high school, and I graduated college, mm-hmm. and I just – the money wasn't there.
Yeah.
And it did take me 9 years to graduate college, and I'm an idiot for that. But, you know, I certainly have enjoyed my time in Murray and continue to do so as best as I possibly can. But when you take a look at those 2 years, that's LeBron James and Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sick inside as a human being, mm-hmm. because I should have just bought like a couple hoops blasters each year. Mm-hmm. You know, just $25-$30.
Put them up.
Put a couple. I have a Luka Doncic base rated rookie,
mm-hmm.
base,
yep.
that I bought for $30. Mm-hmm. The fact that it's $30 is absurd.
Oh, yeah.
But it is in immaculate condition, mm-hmm. and it's Luka Doncic.
Oh, yeah.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah.
I will have a very nice card 15 years from now.
Yeah.
It's decent now.
Mm-hmm.
If I wanted to flip it to a Luka fan, mm-hmm. they probably would be fine with taking it.
Yeah.
But I was able to snag one. One, it's literally the base just straight out of the wax pack, as I'm describing that to you and to the layman listening. It's just the average rookie card.
Oh,
just
yeah.
the back of the pack, no random insert, no sexy holograph, no autograph, nothing like that. Yeah. But even then, sometimes the simplest card is the most valuable card,
mm-hmm.
because of, you know, people discredit it, or it doesn't, or it's in such great condition and they just never mm-hmm. think about it. Go ahead.
The Jaw Young Dolph card. That's a perfect example.
Unbelievable
yeah.
what that card has done. I'd love to hear you explain it, because I know what it is. Mm-hmm. I actually don't have it. I have several Ja Morant cards. Yeah. Walk us through the Young Dolph card.
So I think it's Panini Chronicles it came out of.
Yeah.
And basically it had Young Dolph in the background.
A famous rapper for those who inquired.
Yeah, it's a rapper.
Who unfortunately is...
He passed away.
Right.
I think he...
He was gunned down.
I think he was murdered.
Yeah.
But as soon as, for some reason in cards, which I don't agree with this at all, when someone dies, their cards rise up.
Like, they do.
Like Bill Russell, like his on-card autos, they skyrocketed after he passed.
Kobe Bryant's.
Kobe's a perfect example. But Young Dolph, when he passed away, everybody was like, Young Dolph was on the back of that card. And they started seeing Young Dolph on the back, and now suddenly everybody wants that card because he's on the back. look at the...
Well, it also has Michael Oher's family. Yes,
Mike the Oers are on it. Yep. Yeah. Then you got a card like the Mark Jackson hoops.
Yep.
It's got the, was it Melendez brothers on the back?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Nobody, I mean, there ain't many people out there that want a Mark Jackson card.
No. I would say. Not at all.
People pay decent money for it just because it has the Melendez brothers on the back.
The Billy Ripken. We all know the classic Billy Ripken.
The FF, yeah.
I will, the one curse word we're not allowed to say on the show, and I told, this is hilarious that it just came up and uninvited, but the Billy Ripken card. We all know what the Billy Ripken card is the giant F. Oh, he's got it. Oh my gosh, you have it. Oh my goodness. This is literally not even intentional. He has several of these. So we're looking at a Bill Ripken. You know this. For those that are listening, this is the 1989 Fleer, which of course is when my beloved Griffey, you know, was an insert in that. And it was a random card. It was a main base card, but yeah, it's got the we'll just leave it to your imagination. For those who don't know, it's F face, and it's written on the base of the bat, and Fleer did not catch it.
No.
Fleer did not catch it. There are later error reprints of the card.
There's a blackout that brings significantly less than the actual word on the bat barrel.
The F face. Yeah. But it's hilarious.
The whiteout. That's the hard one. You seen that one?
I have not seen it up in close in person. I've seen it available.
The White House, though, not the White House, the White Out is definitely the best one to
get. Well, the White Out might buy you a White House. That's how nice it is.
Yeah, I saw one at the Nationals, and the dude was asking $15,000.
Yeah, well, it's a down payment on a White House.
Yeah, it's a down payment. But I was like, that probably ain't a terrible price, because where are you going to find one?
Yeah, you're just not.
You're just not going to see one.
No, because those are cards back in the day that no one really thought about. Mm-hmm. And now 20, 30 years later, we're looking back on that. We're like, holy crap, that actually says that on the bat. That is an absolute lovely card to have.
How do you miss it?
You can't miss it. And they missed it. It's so funny you mentioned that. And we've just mentioned, you know, basketball and football. There's a ton of different examples of this type of stuff. Error reprints where the back is not matching the front, or the front doesn't match the back. The on sticker and on card autos are wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, those are obviously beautiful errors to pick up. I'm actually curious, what is the best card that you feel like you own? Two-part question. And what is the best card you think you've pulled in your history of just like, you know what, I'm just going to rip these cards?
The best card I own would be the Jordan rookie. I got the 86 Fleer and a BGS 6. I picked it up.
I can confirm he let me hold it. Yep, it's a stunning, stunning card.
Now, I got the whole set with it. So I don't know if you can count the set as one unity, but...
Oh, I think sets are fine. Yeah, you absolutely can.
I got the whole set of that. But the best card I've ever pulled was a Jeremy Sochan auto out of Chronicles to 22 auto. And it was in his college jersey. It was a cracked ice. And it was going for like 150, 200, or 100 around the time I pulled it.
And he's good.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah, he's solid. I think he's like a Rodman, but can handle it.
Yeah.
He can handle it and he can make passes. But Spurs just don't have a lot right now for him to pass to.
No, you're not wrong.
Wembanyama, I mean.
Well, it's so spread out. I mean, we're going to talk, let's just talk very quickly about the San Antonio Spurs, but it is spread out. You've got Wimby, which God bless Wimby. I mean, that man could be on the side of toilet paper and it would be worth $1,000 right now.
Probably, yeah.
Wimby cards, you've seen where Prism's rookie card has already come out.
His cracked ice just went for $1,000. Like, that's not even like an uncommon card. That would be like, oh man, I hit a big Wimby. That's just like a common card.
It's an insert. Yeah. There's a chance insert for it, but you know, you're exactly right. It's not numbered.
No.
There is a limited, but it's not a short print.
No.
When you see a numbered card, and this is for the uninitiated, but maybe for some of you that are initiated, a numbered card is a short print. It may have the same print as other cards in the set, but when it's numbered, they literally printed only that number of colored insert. Yep. And so that's kind of you. I'm not telling Colby that. Colby knows that. Colby's got a couple rainbows in his stack. But what I'm getting at is, like, for those that don't collect, you might find a base print card of something that you truly love, but I promise you there's inserts of it that are different colors with autographs, maybe even relics.
Yep.
that's how much the card collecting game has changed just since I was a kid. I remember picking up the like the junk wax era for all sports. I remember buying it. I remember my mom giving it to me for Christmas, and you could get like 90 Donruss, which we all know is the classic red and white pinstripe. It's a beautiful set. It might as well be kindling on a campfire. I could take it and put it in a fire
and burn it,
and no one would care. But I care for the nostalgia. Card collecting is so much different now as we pull, you know, and going back to the San Antonio Spurs, you're entirely right. I mean, Keldon Johnson cards are good. Victor Wembanyama cards are clearly good, you know, being the draft pick that he is and the star that he's likely to become and is becoming. Sohan, obviously, in that conversation. I would say Devin Vassell's maybe in that conversation.
He's almost up there with Keldon.
And that's another question for you. You talked about prospects earlier in the game, baseball especially. If you prospect hunt, it's like a stock market.
Oh yeah, 110%. Like you're talking about Giannis, how you didn't get into Giannis's rookie year.
Oh, I'm so sad.
I did, and at the time, I would have been. Let's see, I'm 20 now. 2013. Seven? Is that right?
2003 was LeBron. So I was a moron.
I've been 10 years. No, I've been 10. I've been around 10. Well, Thonsis and Giannis came out back-to-back years.
Yep.
And I thought it was a misprint, being my little 10-year-old self. So I picked up two Giannis RPAs off my grandpa. He just gave them to me. Because, I mean, at the time, it was just Giannis. Cards weren't high. I mean, it just...
He was a mid-first rounder that a lot of people thought from the European game was going to take time to develop.
Oh, yeah.
And clearly he did take time to develop. But my God.
Oh, yeah. He's a freak. Greek freak.
he brought a championship back to Milwaukee. Oh, yeah. And now Cameron Payne's playing for Milwaukee, and it's super cool to even watch that. But like, and then it's funny because then Milwaukee denied the Suns, and Cameron Payne, it's full circle. The NBA is full circle. Yeah. But you talk about Giannis, and I know that that's a once in a lifetime type of thing. You talk about Tom Brady, it's kind of a once in a lifetime thing. But these star players that go to the NBA, they go to the NFL, they go to Major League Baseball, and you're just like, well, I don't know what this guy's going to do. I don't know what this woman's gonna do. Let's talk WNBA.
Caitlin Clark stuff.
I've got a couple Caitlin Clark cards stashed away. I'm not a fool.
No.
I've got a Sabrina Ionescu that is a green colorway because it matched her jersey for for New York. And I was like, I got it for $5. I don't necessarily think it's worth more than $5, but Sabrina Ionescu is a triple double waiting.
She's
like
a beast.
She's a beast. Mm-hmm. And it's like I look at the women's basketball game differently now. Mm-hmm. And cards help me look at the game differently.
That's how you get to watching the games too.
It's how you learn.
Yeah, that's how you exactly right. Like for example, like I told you earlier, I had a Blake Wesley 101.
Sure, you should be proud of that card. It's a cool card.
I'm gonna watch the Spurs play more because I have the Blake Wesley card. I want to see how he does and see how he plays. That way, I know if my cards don't go up, if I should buy more, or if I see he's not playing real good right now, if I should sell. You know, it's. You hit it around the head. It's a stock market.
It is.
The card market is a stock market.
It is. And the thing about it is, here, and I'll answer this question if my wife listens, which the dishwasher, as lovely as she is, and that is her nickname for this podcast. I didn't want you to think I'll get kicked out of my house for my own reasons. But the dishwasher always asks me, well, when are you going to sell? Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, I don't know. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, tomorrow? Maybe. Are there things that I'm always going to keep? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Are there cards that I have that I would absolutely give to a kid to start their collection right now? Yeah, absolutely. I have plenty of cards that I could do that with and jumpstart and would not think twice about it. I have some cards that I probably could trade right away that I would not lose my heart over. Yeah. I have some stuff that I probably could even sell if I didn't want to trade for something better and want to make some quick cash. I have a couple cards that I certainly could eyeball and say, oh, yeah, this will give me a house payment. I've got a couple cards like that. But I look at the game and I look at sports and I look at the collecting aspect of it and I tell myself, this means a lot to me now and it is, if it depreciates in value, it's not going to depreciate more than it's worth to me.
Oh, yeah.
And then if it appreciates in value monetarily, that's just cream on top of the cake.
Like my cannons and stuff, I didn't buy them because I thought he was going to come back to the NBA and turn into Steph Curry shooting threes from deep.
It'd be amazing if he did.
But, yeah, it'd be amazing. But like,
but I get what you're saying.
I bought them just because I love cannon.
Yeah.
Like the whole point of the hobby is to collect first. you buy what you like, whatever else happens, happens.
Yeah.
Like that's always been the main, that's how it started. Little kids opening up 52 Mantles and Tops.
Oh, man.
They just wanted the gum out of them.
And they wanted to put them in their basketball spokes.
Yep, that's all they wanted.
And they wanted to, Neil Bradley told me he used to line his guys up and they'd actually like play on the fence.
Oh, yeah.
Like he put them up on the fence in their positions.
Yeah.
He'd put them in their right field. Here's right field. Left field. Here we go. Left field. Mm-hmm. And they're in the dirt and they're playing. It's like, oh, take a stick and hit a ball. Yep. Like, all right, that guy didn't get the ball. Like, you know, like there's a fun element to that perspective.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like there's the whole, there is the emotional tie to it, but there are so many people that treated cards in such a different way that it's just like, well, what on earth? Like, how we think about that now, it's like, oh my God, I see people opening card, you know, cases with gloves and stuff like that.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I get it. To a degree, if you're going to spend, let's say you open up a National Treasures, I'm probably going to get a pair of latex powderless gloves and open that.
Probably have to.
Yeah, because it's just the case, just so expensive. But I think that's where the game, that's where the collecting game has changed so much.
Oh yeah, there's price points. I mean, there's price points. I mean, stocks, it's the same way. There's always there's always different price points for everybody. That's why collecting, I think that's another reason why it's came along so far. A little kid can take his $1 into a show. If he likes Michael Jordan, he can buy him a dollar Michael Jordan. The same guy that owns eight businesses worth $3 million can take $10,000 in there and go buy a Jordan auto because he likes Jordan. There's always different. There's cars for everybody. There's really nothing that you can't collect in sports cards.
That's such a terrific point. Mm-hmm. What sage and wise advice. Yeah. We did not preempt any of this sage and wise advice. I wanted Cody on the show to be able to talk about his show that's coming up in January, but I also just wanted you, I mean, you're able to kind of talk why people collect. And it's crazy you say that because I text with collectors sometimes. I'm not a heavy collector. Yeah. I know I'm not a heavy hitter. Mm-hmm. Western Kentucky has some heavy hitters.
Oh yeah, there's a bunch.
You know way more than I do, and I know a handful.
There is a ton of guys in Western Kentucky. A bunch of them are going to be at the show.
There's a couple cows too. Yeah,
they got it. Whenever they say they got it, you best believe them.
Yeah,
they got it.
They're not. Well, I'll say the one curse word I like to say in every. They're not bullshitting you.
No, they're not. No.
They've got it.
No, and most of the time it's what I've noticed at card shows is. Some guys will walk around, man, I got this, and this. And sometimes they're, what's it saying, bark over bite?
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't have it. It's the guys that you think don't have it, that they're the ones that got it.
They're quietly having it.
They quietly have it.
Yeah.
But, like, I give you an example. This is going to be a little sidetrack.
No, we're here for the sidetrack.
Little kid comes up to me at the Nationals 2 years ago. My dad, he was right there with me. You can talk to him about it if you don't believe me.
Vouch it.
He can vouch it. We were sitting there at a little trade night by Card Collector 2 and Jimmy Roadshow, two famous people in the hobby.
Absolutely.
And
Jimmy's in Lexington. I'll toss that out. I'm going to Lexington this weekend. Probably going to make a pass by the show.
Yeah.
By the place.
Kid came by our table. He goes, man, are y'all buying anything? I was like, yeah, we'd love to look at your cards. We're going to be nice, little kid, you know. And he's like, I take $80,000 for my whole stack of cards. And we're like, I look at my dad. He's like, you say $80,000?
Did he say the wrong number?
Yeah, I was like, he might not have meant that. I was like, I'll go ahead and look. And I tell you what, there would have been a dude in that. I don't have $80,000. I'm a college kid.
I don't have $80,000. I don't. My entire card collection's not worth $80,000.
Yeah. One of them big boys would have gave him $80,000 for that whole stack. But
because of what he had.
Yeah. The cards also teach your kids and younger kids about like business decisions. I need to look for this for $5. I can take it around and make... sell it for 10, make me a quick 5. For a little kid, $5 is pretty good for a little 6-7-year-old kid.
Yeah.
That's the same thing with Pokemon. I've noticed more of the shows I go to, more and more kids are getting back into Pokemon. But where can you take a kid?
Well, there's 800 of them, so it's easy to get into it.
Where can you take a kid now for a Saturday and say, here's $200. I want you to go buy and flip the whole show. Bring me back $500. There ain't many places where a 10-11-year-old kid can make $300 in a day.
But they could there.
But they could there.
Legally, fairly, and it's a promotion of
the
actual... That's singles. You might could buy some product and be like, oh, I'm going to flip that. Mm-hmm. And I know that happens.
Yeah.
You know, I know a lot of people that stash product and flip it. I get it. Yeah. I get that aspect of it. But the flipping of the singles...
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, I've been known to mess up. I might have a $200 car and I actually misprice it as $100. I might have a weak moment every now and then. And people, I mean, plenty of people have their weak moments to these shows.
Well, and then you mentioned it even earlier. It's easy to look at somebody and say, oh man, I know you love the Racers. Tell you what, I'll do you a solid.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I know you love the Falcons. Mm-hmm. I'll do you a solid.
It was a card I bought. One of my buddies is a big Packers fan. And I bought a Nike tag. It was a game-worn Nike tag of Brett Favre.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And I paid like $60 for it, like dirt cheap. Probably like a $100 card. I was planning on keeping it.
Yeah.
And the dude came by. He's like, man, we can have for that Brett Favre. And he was wearing his Aaron Rodgers Packers jersey. I was like, dude, I tell you what.
He legitimately loves the Packers. He
was a diehard Packer.
Didn't know he was going to even see that card.
He's like, what do you got for it? I was like, I tell you what, just give me what I gave for it. Just got to let him have it. And that way, but man, I like Murray State guys. He's going to be looking for Murray State guys, sending me pictures on Instagram of stuff he finds. And that's how you build connections, you know.
It's how you build a friendship.
Oh, yeah.
A kinship.
I've made so many friends going to these card shows. And it's people you never think you'd be friends with. Like, if you see them out in public, you'd be like, man, I probably wouldn't talk to that guy, you know. But now I'm best friends with them, you know. I love sports cards. I love what it brings to the community, the unity of it. I mean, it's fun.
I think there is an aspect of it that's kind of scummy. And I know that we all know that. I mean, it's a tough thing sometimes when you can have, like, I've got a couple more questions for you that are related to the hobby, but it's just, how do you feel about the breaker scenario?
The breaker? The breaker.
Because it's hard. I don't know how I feel about it.
It don't really bother me. The only thing that frustrates me, and this is mainly because my grandpa owns a card shop.
Yeah.
These breakers, like backyard breaks. They just pulled the CJ Stroud.
Just saw that.
Black Fine Out 101.
Filthy card.
Disgusting card. My grandpa came to get a box of that. They're ripping hundreds of cases. And a case, for most of y'all, it's probably 8 to 20 boxes, depending on which product you get.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And you have a local card shop who's been a dealer for over 30 years, been in business.
Can't get a case.
And he can't get a box. He can't get a box. And these guys are ripping cases. That sense bothers me, but like I don't. It's like you said earlier. You're buying.
Is that a price point issue?
No. He's just not allocated any. He just can't. He literally can't even order it.
So the allocations are going to specific subjects.
Yes, that's that's what bothers me about it.
I've heard that problem.
He's direct with Tops now, so he can get all your Tops that you want. So
right.
He's got that now. He can't get Panini. He won't let them, but they're about to switch over anyway. So
yeah, sure.
It won't be a big deal.
Yeah, not to bore anybody with the history of, but Topps is, just to really quickly say, Topps is kind of switching over. Mm-hmm. It's the Panini, the Fanatics. You mentioned it earlier, what's happening with LeBron James and Bronny and that dual auto that's going to be 1-1 and will be the next bounty card.
Yep.
The most recent new Babe Ruth became a bounty card out of Bowman first.
Yep.
That was insane.
The short print.
I assume you don't have one.
I don't.
They're outlandish.
No. Then
the Tom Brady.
The Brady
Expo. Yeah. Like, he never even stepped on the field except for training camp. And
the good one hasn't been pulled yet. The 12 of 50 auto.
It's out there.
Yeah. And it's that's, for y'all that don't know, that's a $500,000 card.
Yeah.
All you got to do is fly out. I think it's is it David Adams?
I think that's right.
And they're in New York, and all you got to do is fly out there, and they'll write you a check for it right then and
there. They've already got the bounty for it.
Yeah, they already got it put out.
They want it.
But back to the thing.
That's real quick. That's what happened. Just another bounty, just so people understand. It's not just sports cards. That's what happened with the Lord of the Rings, the One Ring, one card. Post Malone wanted it for two.
Yep.
And for actually two? Originally said four.
Yep.
And then I think he kind of scotched that down a little bit. Because, I mean, you're getting into Sotheby's range at that point. $2 million, still insane.
Yeah.
And a guy from Canada pulled it.
Yep.
Yeah, but anyway, you were digress. We digressed there.
Like you're talking about, is it better to buy singles?
Well, just like we were talking about the breaker situation what was infuriating about that whole scenario.
Yeah. Earlier, we were talking about the singles versus ripping.
Yep.
And I said, you want to go buy who you like. Well, breaking gives you that opportunity.
It does.
Because like if you like Jaw.
That's the positive part of it.
Yeah, if you like Jaw, like most people around here, I'd say would probably like Jaw. You can go buy a Grizzly spot in a box you couldn't afford otherwise cheaper. And you're only going after Jaw, you might have a better chance to get that for a cheaper price.
And if you don't get the Jaw, you're going to get the Jared Jackson Jr., the Desmond Bane.
Yep.
You're going to get the Brandon Clark, the Santi Aldana.
Yep.
I mean, we just go down the roster. I'll say this. Vince Williams Jr. just signed a 3-year deal. Mm-hmm. He was a late draft pick out of VCU.
Oh yeah.
And now he's, you talk about stock market.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Is his card valuable? No. Yeah. Is it? Did I want to buy a Vince Williams because I think he could be the next Dylan Brooks mm-hmm. for this team, and he plays better defense? Actually, yeah. I'll just go ahead and state it. Mathematically, he's been playing better defense this year as a second year guy coming out of the G League. Absolutely, yeah. I absolutely wanted to get a Vince Williams autograph. I got it for $7.50. He just signed a 3-year, $7.9 million deal. Oh, yeah. He'll be with the team for the next 3 years. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't really care. I like the Grizzlies. Ja Morant. I will say this, and my wife can tell you right away, I have bought more cards in the last 5 years than I've bought in the last 30.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Ja Morant Zion draft, no doubt that I can absolutely attest to that. And then I started seeing some of my guys that I care about mm-hmm. hit retirement.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm 38 going on 50. Seeing Joey Votto potentially take his last at-bat in Cincinnati this year, I wanted more Votto stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I loved Griffey. And now Griffey is 50, and he's a sports photographer, mm-hmm. alongside his former buddy, Randy Johnson, who has one of the coolest logos for a photography business ever with his dead bird. And I love Randy Johnson. These are things that I was able to connect to, and it's just one of those scenarios where you just talk about this whole breaker thing. You're exactly right. I'm never going to be able to afford like a National Treasures or an Immaculate. I maybe could afford a box of Obsidian if I went in with a friend.
Oh, yeah.
And I love Obsidian. Mm-hmm. I love its look. But I would love to break in on that by saying, you know what, give me Grizzlies, give me Spurs.
Oh, get your team that you want.
You know,
right there.
Give me what I think I want to get. Even if it's not the guy I get, mm-hmm. I love the team. I love the affiliate.
That goes back to the whole price point thing we're talking about earlier, buying singles.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with buying boxes. You know, you can go like this Prism draft right here.
Yeah.
How much was that?
So I paid $37. It's really high, but I know why.
Yeah.
Because they priced up Victor Wembanyama. Yeah.
$37 for that box.
Yep.
You could probably join a break in a, let's see, be 30 teams. So a $400 box for $30 and get the team you want and care about.
And get the guys.
And get the guys that you want.
Yeah.
Instead of just getting the whole $30 box of this. Now, you might watch that box break and a dude hit a $15,000 card for a different team. Might make you mad because you didn't buy that box. But that's just a chance you take.
That's the lottery.
Yeah,
that's going back to that. That's why. So I want to segue into that. We got two boxes here. I think you and I are going to open these while we're talking. Yep. I just want to kind of see what's going to happen. How do you want to do this? Because I was thinking, like, I would open a pack and just say, I'm not going to go over every statistic and every guy, but, like, you open a pack, I open a pack, and we'll just, you know, maybe we'll even trade.
Yeah, we can do something.
We'll see. Here we go. We're going to see if we get. So he has a box of, he's got a mega box.
Prestige football.
2023. Yeah, 2023. This year, we got the NFL playoffs are this weekend. Aaron Rodgers with the Jets. Is on the front, which is kind of it's kind of cool to see that because it is unfortunate that he didn't play this year. But, like, you know, personality aside, he's a great football player in all of this situation. Mm-hmm. Like, he was supposed to be a big-time promoter of the NFL this year. So he's going to open up a box of Prestige, which has, what, 42 cards in it? I think seven packs.
42 cards.
Yeah. Okay. And then I'm going to open up, and we'll try not to clog the airwaves here. I've got 30 cards in a Panini Prism draft picks this year, 2023. So it's got the Thompson Twins, which is also, you know, great band as well back in the 80s. But the Thompson Twins are good. Victor Wembanyama's good. Jaime Jaquez is really hot right now.
Scoot Henderson?
Yeah, Scoot Henderson's playing really well right now.
I like him a lot.
I like him.
That's one I've been trying to pick up a little bit more here and there.
Yep. So here we go. If you want to, I tell you what, you go first. Crack your pack. See if we're going to, you can hear the little rap sounds. And it would be better, I guess, for video, but this is way cool though.
Michael Vick.
Okay. All right.
That probably ain't a whole lot.
All right.
Valdez Scantling. He got released from the Chiefs.
All right. There you go.
I'm off to a hot start,
guys. Off to a great start. See you, Valdez Scantling.
Kevin Byard. Got traded.
Oh, I know. I love. I've got a buyer jersey.
Yep. All right. Here's the rookies. Brian Branch, running back for the Lions. He must be a late round pick.
I don't think he didn't play 40, much.
45th pick.
Yeah.
He's from Alabama though. He's got a chance.
Okay.
Jackson Smith Najiba.
Okay.
He's pretty solid.
Oh, yeah, he's pretty solid. Yeah, pretty solid out of he's in Seattle.
Then I got a little Garrett Wilson.
Okay.
Yep, and Josh Jacobs.
Okay. Yeah, and you got a Garrett Wilson. It's a, what is it, like just a random?
It's the one that inserts. I forgot what they call it in Prestige.
Gotcha. Okay.
I think Kabooms are in this for some reason.
That'd be wild. A Kaboom would be amazing. All right, here we go. Here we go. All right. Got an Amen Thompson. Rookie. Got a Scotty Barnes, just an insert. Florida State. This Draft Prisms is college, but it was the first Wimby. There's a Bryce Sensabaugh, who played at Ohio State, which, whatever. An Allen Iverson. And then there's a Taylor Hendricks Purple Wave. Okay, cool. You know, Taylor Hendricks Purple Wave. Prism. I mean, it's an insert. I don't think he's playing too terribly much at the moment. No, hey, there we go.
My buddy, he's a huge Jazz collector.
Okay.
Is it Taylor Hendricks on the Jazz?
I think that's right, actually.
I think that's who he got drafted by. And I know he was telling me that that's who he's been picking up. Ooh, got a numbered rookie.
Okay.
That's pretty solid.
Who is it?
Trey Tucker. Never heard of him, but out of the – These boxes come from mainly Walmart or your car.
Yeah, we're
boxes.
Not. This is not high end.
No,
we're having some fun.
We're having some fun.
Yeah.
So if you hit anything numbered out of a box, that's pretty solid.
Yeah, it is. Taylor Hendricks was just called up by the Jazz.
He was just called up. Mm-hmm. There we go.
Yep. There you go.
That's probably the best card so far I've got.
Okay. Oh, and it's red.
It's red. Numbered.
What is it? /100
$499.
Okay. See, so 5 out of 500.
See, Prestige. All these products have the different numbers. You know.
Yep.
So like. For Tops, Gold's to 50, but for Panini stuff, it's to 10. So.
Yep.
Travis Etienne.
Okay. Just another little random insert.
Another little rant. Trayvon Diggs, he's having a... Is he still on the Cowboys?
Yeah, he is. He got hurt.
He got hurt? Yeah. I must say, I haven't heard much about him lately. Zaire Franklin. Colts.
Okay.
Don't know who that is.
Mm-mm.
He's a captain, though. Baker Mayfield. That's probably one of his first Buccaneers cards.
Yep.
Then we got Paris Johnson Jr., Cardinals offensive lineman,
okay.
Rookie, and then a Clayton Tune.
Oh, which he's quarterback.
Quarterback, Cardinals.
Yep.
I mean, this is kind of the same category as Brock Purdy was when he first came out and got hot.
It's funny.
That's a perfect example. It's like this card.
Who knew Brock Purdy? Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah. I mean, nobody would have thought Brock Purdy would have been good. But
unbelievable.
That one Iowa State guy, I was like, man, I'm going to buy every Brock Purdy I can get my hands on.
Unbelievable.
He probably made thousands.
Tiger Campbell. He's playing overseas right now, I think. Trey Johnson. Olivier Maxence Prosper. Oh, another base. Victor Wembanyama rookie. That's my fourth one.
There you go. That's a good one.
That's absurd. That is my fourth one. And it's his workout jersey. I've been hot on that. I've pulled the base. I'd love to pull a purple wave. I'd love to pull an auto.
I had a silver.
Yeah, even would be fine. But that's hilarious. Another base Victor Wembanyama. But to be fair, outside of Bowman, that's his first release.
Yeah.
So mentally, that's what I was able to tell myself. When draft picks came out, I was like, well, that's the first actual Wembanyama that's not Bowman tied. It's not collegiately related.
It's NBA, more NBA.
It's more of the NBA push. So, and then Jalen Brunson Green. We know Brunson's playing really well for the Knicks right now.
Yep.
The Knicks are hot. That trade for OJ Anunoby was a really, really good decision. But all right, so a base Wimby.
That's probably best car I've been pulled.
I'm off to a good start right now. That's not so
probably
bad.
Hit another one.
Yeah, you got time. You've still got like four packs to go too. Though.
A numbered one be a good one.
It would be
that'd
nice.
That'd be some. Hollering on
something to stash away.
Matt Corral, I don't think he's on a team right now.
I don't think he's playing right. Matt Corral's not playing right
now.
Jonathan
Taylor.
Okay.
He was hurt.
He played well. Yeah. He played well when he came back.
Richard Sherman.
Okay.
Luke Musgrave. I think he had an all right year. Packers. Yeah. I think he's all right. Rookie. And then Bryce Young rookie.
Oh, that's okay.
That's solid.
There's a base Bryce Young rookie. That's awesome.
Yep.
That's another one of those. Like things that you know he was a high draft pick, you think he could be good. We'll see where this is going.
Yeah. Then AJ Brown little insert and a Joe Mixon insert.
Oh well, now I'm just hurt inside because of AJ Brown. I'm hurt all over again. I'll just go ahead and mention. I hate Mike Vrabel being fired. I hate it. I mean, that's a separate podcast. But all right, my turn to open here. Yeah, Mike Vrabel being fired from Tennessee. Thoughts on that? I'm miserable. So. Let's see what we got here. We've got a Dwayne Wade. Oh, I watched him put up a triple double against the Cats when I was in Nashville. Oh, John Morant base. Let's go. Just another random base card of John Morant driving. That's him at the NCAA tournament. You and I've talked about. Yep. That's probably a Getty image that they were able to pull. I've got like three of those, but that's fine. That's something I'd trade to a kid who wants to start a Morant collection. Yeah. High on Aaron Bradshaw. We've got a Bradshaw.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the one thing about draft picks. Prism is that they've done a really good job installing over the last couple of years rated rookies.
Oh.
Guys that they think they are going to high in the draft later on. Mm-hmm. They're college cards. Oh. And NIL's helped a lot with that.
Oh, yeah.
I've got a Khalil Ware autograph. Mm-hmm. He left Oregon, went to Indiana. Yeah. Is doing really well there. He's an All-American. Yep. I pulled an auto of his. I was like, oh, absolutely. Let's go. Let's do that.
Just like the Topps, Topps Chrome McDonald's autos. Like
Reed Shepard. People are... If you had... I'm so glad you brought that up. If you had bought Reed Shepard year ago...
Yep. You'd made bank.
Right now, you are sitting pretty because he's a lottery pick now.
Oh, yeah.
And is the second best freshman maybe in the entire college basketball arena.
Oh, yeah.
Debatably. And has improved the most out of expectation. Mm-hmm. And then I pulled a Nick Smith Jr., just a fireworks base insert from Prism. So your turn now, man.
I think you hit the mangas out of your box too, right?
Yes.
Prism mangas?
Yep.
I think there's another numbered. Jared Goff, blue, color match, numbered 299.
Oh, nice. That is solid.
He's had a pretty good year.
Not only that, big game this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
He's got who they play? It's Detroit Lions and the Rams.
And the Rams, yeah.
It's Stafford versus Goff. Mm-hmm. It's a very emotional game in Detroit.
Then I got a Kelce powerhouse.
So there's an insert right there.
Yeah. Like, one thing, I'll get a little sidetracked here. Like, people are now going after Taylor Swift stuff just because he's dating her.
That's right.
Like, Leaf had a card. I should have bought it. I know I should have bought it.
Yeah.
They released 11 of them on Leaf's website, and Leaf's a trading card company for y'all that don't know.
Correct.
But there's a
outside of Panini, and used to be, they're still a big deal, but their rights are very different.
Yes, yeah. But they had a booklet cut, and it was Kelce and Swift.
Oh my lord!
Both of them together, and I should have bought. I think it was like $1,100, which it really wasn't that bad. Numbered to 11. I should have gotten there and bought it, but
because it'll be worth an insane amount after.
Yeah, they sold out instantly. Ernest,
and that's where that pop culture.
Oh yeah,
I got kind of mixed in.
I got a Livy Dunn auto out of Leaf.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, I got like
look at her.
Yeah, I mean
one of the best gymnasts,
top NILs in the country.
Yeah,
she's making even more money off signing them. Like I know, for Leaf does a bunch of the non-sport like that.
Of
like,
course they do.
The Kevin Divers, how you say it?
Yeah.
The Kevin Diver twins?
Yeah.
They got autos. I mean, there's a bunch of TikTokers that have autos now. Like, I know my sister, she's starting to get into non-sport, which I like that as well, but she's going after Harry Potter autos.
Oh, I think that's great.
Like,
I have Star Wars autos. I'm glad you brought this up.
Yep, I got a bunch. I got W. Earl Brown.
Oh, my gosh, from Mandalorian Murray. And from Murray.
He has an auto. I got like four or five of them. I've been trying to find more of them.
Oh, wow. From the Mandalorian?
He has an auto in the Mandalorian. He has an auto.
For the Mandalorian top set.
Yes, I think he's like the weak way.
Yeah, he's the weak way.
Yep.
you're speaking my language, man.
Yeah, he's got a weak
I've way. I've got auto. So the original Mon Mothma, not the Mon Mothma that's the younger Mon Mothma that's in Rogue One and is now taking on all the roles for the shows. Carol Blackiston. I love the original Mon Mothma in Return of the Jedi. It's one of my favorite science fiction films of all time. And I have a Carol Blackiston auto.
Oh, yeah.
And because I wanted Carol Blackiston, I wanted Mon Mothma. And it was
$20. Oh, yeah.
Now, a Carrie Fisher is unaffordable for me. Yeah.
I got the Goldenrod. Have you seen that one?
C-3PO.
The Goldenrod Air.
I didn't. No.
You need to look that. I'll show you.
I'll look it up. Yeah.
It's one of them kind of like the F-face card of.
Yeah.
Look up C-3PO Goldenrod. You'll like that. That'll be one you should probably get. Now, I think they're around like 100. They came down a lot, but that's another one of them air cards. And you can probably assume what Goldenrod means.
I can assume that, but I see what you're saying. The Anthony Daniels error card.
Yeah, the error.
You know what's funny? I actually have a set of the 1977 tops.
Yeah.
Almost complete.
Almost complete.
I know that is outlandishly inexcusable.
Oh,
yeah. It's an outlandish. This card's $350 as a six. The Anthony Daniels error.
Yep.
And it's the golden. Okay.
Goldenrod.
Yeah. I'll leave that to your imagination, but it is certainly a print error. And that is impressive.
Yep.
Wow.
That's probably my favorite Star Wars card I got.
All right, you're going in on a pack, then I'll go in on a pack. Yeah. What do you got? That's I got crazy.
One more left after.
Oh, you're good. I've got three.
You got three? Oh.
We're good. I'll let you open that one now. Right. You're the one that's landed. So to be fair, just to say, you've landed a really, really nice Jared Goff, and number you've landed a number Jared Goff, and you've landed a numbered
rookie of Trey Tucker, which that's one of them kind of like the Brock Purdy deal. You just never know. Then a Bryce Young rookie.
Gotcha.
I got the Mark Brunell. Did I say his name?
Mark Brunell.
That's before my time.
Jacksonville, baby.
Yep.
Yep.
Levante David.
Okay.
Tank Bigsby.
Okay.
Jacksonville rookie, and then my other rookie is Davon Witherspoon.
Okay.
Illinois.
Okay.
Then I got another Matt Corral.
Oh man.
Four Matt Corral.
Oh man, the poor guy. What's going on here? All right, let's see what we got. Pack four for me here. All right, we got James Najee, rookie card. I don't think he's doing much. DeMar DeRozan when he played at USC. Mm-hmm. Another Taylor Hendricks. Cool. Jordan Hawkins, high on him. Ooh, I'll take a green Marcus Sasser.
It's oh, okay. Yeah.
Detroit Piston. Yeah. So Jordan Hawkins also playing quite a bit in New Orleans
and
is a national champion. Mm-hmm. So we'll see where that goes. I'll catch up to you. I've got one. I'll open one. Then you've got one more pack left. You know, you big insert coming for you.
Speaking of another Murray guy that has cards, you heard Chuck Taylor before?
Oh, I went to school with Chuck Taylor.
He has autos.
He has autos?
And AEW wrestling.
No way. Yeah, he has
autos. I've been buying like some of his action.
Well, I know he has action figures.
I've been buying some of the action figures.
I know. I worked with Chuck Taylor.
I've been buying some autos too.
So Chuck spent time at Murray State. Yep. He has a Murray State grad. Mm-hmm. He's about the same age as me, a little bit younger. He's a Graves County.
Yeah.
And Graves County guy. Mm-hmm. And I've had some.
He's got some autos.
I've had some. You know what? I'm gonna have to look at that.
Yeah, they're not that high.
I'm gonna text him and be like, man, you got some autographs, some figures. He was a good guy. We worked together. What's Tap 216 now? Mm-hmm. We worked together at Vitello's and the Olive before back in the day, and we had some theater classes together. Made sense. He's into the theatrics, and he's I'll be honest with you, I've watched some Eastbound and Down with him. He's a beefy dude.
Yeah,
he could bench press me. He could throw me around his house. It was hilarious. All right, got a base Marcus Sasser here. I'm glad you brought up Chuck Taylor. That's crazy, man. another Kentucky legend, man.
Yeah.
Jalen Brunson base. Colin Castleton, who's not really playing that much. Oh, that's actually kind of cool. It is a silver prism, Cade Cunningham, and it's not a rookie. It's just him in the Cowboys jersey. I'm high on Cade.
Oh yeah,
I love Cade
right now. Yep.
He's absolutely on my list of keep.
He just don't have much help.
He doesn't, and they're young and they're bad and
like Wiseman. He ain't even getting to play over there. I wish he'd get a little more opportunity to play. But. I
got a base widescreen Ausar Thompson. It's the alt. Why it's just the insert. So widescreen rookie card. So hey, I like a silver Cade so far, and a base Wimby and a base Morant. What else? I've got one more pack. Let's see what you've got. You've got one more pack as well.
Hopefully something good.
Give me here something. We go.
I get it out. Number Jerry Rice to $399. That's gotta be a little bit.
Jerry Rice?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Jerry Rice numbered.
That's awesome.
Is it jersey match? No. Another thing is the jersey matches. I know we talked about that off air, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, but for those of you who don't know, jersey matches, they'll bring more for the numbered cards when it's their jersey. That's the serial number.
So like, so what he's saying there is like if their jersey number is number one and the serial number insert is a one, people love that.
People go crazy.
People love it. Like if you pulled a Ja 12 and it was like a 12 of 99, people are like, oh, it's a number matched to Ja.
Yeah, they'd want more than...
What it's really worth, probably.
Yeah.
Great point.
Yeah, then I got a Kyler Murray.
Okay.
John Michie. Did I say it? Michie?
John Mechie.
Mechie. I'm not good at pronouncing
it. No, you're good. Mechie's got it. That's a cool story.
Yeah. Trey Lance.
Okay.
On the 49ers on that
one. Yeah, so he's now in Dallas. Yeah, we'll see what happens there.
Anthony Richardson, rookie. That's pretty solid.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he's going to be good.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be real scary.
So you got a Bryce Young and an Anthony Richardson rookie.
No Stroud, but I got two of the
top three premier quarterback rookies. All right, my last pack here, too. Let's see what we got here. All right. One more pack. Let's see. Oh, Zion Williamson. What's up, Zion?
I think he's a buy.
I think he is too, because I think he's a good guy. That's the green insert. Zion. Okay, cool. I'm fine with that. And then Keegan Murray. Paul George, David Singleton, and another base Zion Williamson. That's totally that's hilarious. It's leave it to Prism to insert the same guy in the same pack. Yeah. Not so bad, though. I'll take the base Wimby for sure.
If you had a Wimby out of that, I mean, what more can you ask for?
No. Wimby's the guy. Well, man, I really appreciate the time. We can close up shop here. I just want you to take just another moment, promote the show. Yeah. What can you tell us about what people can expect a month from now?
I mean, I expect a really big turnout, I'm going to be honest. I know I have a couple of buddies that work in the plants at Calvert City, and they hanged up some flyers down there, a couple of the plants. And there are so many people around here that collect cards that you wouldn't know. Like, I didn't know until recently that you were big into cards. I saw on your Twitter.
I don't know if I'm big into it, but I love it.
You collect it.
I do collect. Yeah.
There's a bunch of people out here that enjoy collecting things. And I know, like, there's a dude coming from Dover, Tennessee that has a store down there. And I think he might bring some comic books and stuff.
Sure.
And, like, there's going to be a whole lot of variety there. And, like, I really appreciate it. Everybody came out and gave me a fair chance, you know, support some of the local dealers as well as people driving out there from out of state. I got guys coming from Missouri, Arkansas, over. I got a pretty big network built from all the shows I go to, which is going to help me down the road try to improve this show, make it even bigger. But I think that's about all it.
Colby, my last question for you, man, and I appreciate the time. Walk us through what you've seen in First Region basketball. Just over the last few weeks, and now that things are starting to kind of heat up a little bit in the First Region.
The only two teams that I haven't seen play this year are Mayfield and Tillman. They're the only two I haven't really watched. But Mayfield's probably the reason they always go late because of football.
Yeah, absolutely. When it's such a special year this
Tillman,
year.
Tillman, my sister plays for Marshall, and they haven't played Tillman this year, so I haven't got the chance to go watch them play.
Yeah.
But for the boys' side,
I'm going to tell you for Tillman right now, Miles Woodfork is the real deal.
Yeah, he's good.
He's good. Yeah.
For the boys' side, I'm a diehard Marshall fan.
Well, of course you are.
We're battling.
Look at the fourth district this year.
It's the best district year in and year out. I go to the grave saying it. All three of them teams between Murray, Callaway, and Marshall should all be in the regional tournament.
Yep.
But one of them teams got to get left out every year.
They do.
Like, I mean, there's been years where any one of them three teams could have won the region. And you got to battle to even get to the region.
Yep.
And, like, I'd say this year, though, Marshall, they're battling some injuries right now. I think Staples is kind of hurt. Oren Phelps was sick. Still got the Lange boy, Matthew. I think he's going to be legit.
You have Dirty Dan Lange autographs.
I got his dad's autographs in this box right
here. The fact that you have Dirty Dan Lange autographs. I didn't know those existed. That's incredible. Anyway, go ahead.
I'd say Callaway's looking the scariest right now.
Just getting healthy at the right time.
Healthy at the right time. They're getting hot. You know, they handled McCracken pretty well the other night.
They did. And McCracken really is good.
They got the best post player in the region with Cole. I mean, and he's only a sophomore, dude. Built like a tank.
I write for Cat's Paws, and I got to think Jackson Clope. You got a lot of graduation this year in the first and the second region. Yeah. You know, with how good Lyon County is, and there's a lot of guys like Clope. They're going to jump into that preseason top 10. Yeah. Clope almost made the preseason top 10 this year, and probably in a revote right now would be.
He's going to be a problem. He's going to be a problem for any. You know, he's massive. He's like 6'6", can shoot threes, post you up, drive, dribble. I mean, he does it all.
But Callaway, you talk about how healthy Callaway is, man. I mean, Eli Finley's return.
If they get hot, it's going to be tough to beat him.
Yeah. They're good from three.
I'm not a big Graves fan. But Graves.
Well, of course, you know, you're a Marshall kid.
I'm a Marshall fan. I can't say I like Graves.
Marshall Graves has that rivalry, and they've had it for years.
Yeah, but Graves plays a style of basketball. Same thing with Murray. You're not going to blow them out. You ain't going to beat them by more than 10. They're going to be in every game right down the horn.
They're going to grind it.
They're going to grind it. I think Murray's got the most size in the region, and that's going to help them down the road. But right now.
Lincoln English, Jeremiah Johnson.
Xavion, he's like 6'6".
Yeah, and then Xavion's good too.
Drew May, I mean, he's like a 6'1", 6'2" point guard. I mean, all five of them they're big.
That's big.
That's big.
Yeah.
That's going to be a matchup nightmare for most teams. But I wouldn't bet against Callaway if they're hitting the three ball.
I had them as preseason favorites. Yeah. And, you know, and I don't think anybody knew that Eli Finley was going to be injured early. And, you know, they played it smart. Their record is deceiving. You know, Butler is insanely good.
Me and him talk all the time that he can play.
He can play.
He can, and he's almost the type of player.
He's going to play D1 ball.
We played against him, and I love my boy Quinn Smith, and he guarded the best player every night.
Yeah.
He was on guard, whoever, and he'd always say Jonah would give him the most trouble. And that was when Jonah was a freshman. But Jonah's type of player, man, you're sitting there like, man, he can't have that many. And you look up, he gets 5 a quarter, not killing you, but then at the end of the game, he's got 20.
And you're just like, why didn't we do
that? And then why did you, like, he's just one of them.
Why didn't we do anything about him? Yeah. Why did we let this happen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's 6'5", can shoot right when he crosses half court. You got your hand up, or else he has, you know, Cleaver's teams, they all have the green light to shoot it. Every one of them, they're not afraid to shoot no three.
That's such a great point. But Cleaver's teams have the green light. Absolutely right.
On the girls,
they want that pace.
Yeah. On the girls' side, I'd still say McCracken's probably the team to beat, and then Graves and Marshall. That'd be your top three. Right
yeah. Now. And I thought Marshall, I mean, it's crazy to think what Skylar Waller is even doing.
With a torn
ACL.
Playing through it.
What a gutty, yep. gutty thing to do.
Cowboy girls are good, too. I can't leave
Sailor them. Lowe.
They got Sailor, and they got the one Jaden girl, the other point guard, they got pretty solid.
Jaden Koch?
Yeah, got her, yeah. Yep. My sister played AAU with her a couple summers ago. But like I said, our regions, there's really not even a favorite, to be honest.
It's open.
Whoever gets hot's going to win it. I mean, you saw that a couple years ago. Was it Covcath that won state?
Yep.
And they just got hot. They weren't supposed to win it, but they started hitting their shots, and then they won.
So. Yep, and that's how it happens, man. Yep. Man, I really appreciate the time. It's been a good time, and learned a lot, and hopefully come out to the show. I'm going to try and make a stop by just because, you know, I mean, I've seen it up like you guys. You've been talking about this show slowly but surely on social media for – I mean, four or five months, six months.
About August, I've been trying to promote it, you know. Yeah. But there's been a bunch of people I've just randomly seen that, oh, yeah, I'm going to be at your show. So I'd expect a pretty big turnout. By the time this post, I don't know when you plan on posting this.
But this will be posted in about an hour and a half.
About an hour and a half, well, probably after this post, I'm going to be posting a link. Murray State University has asked for everybody to upload their license plate. That way nobody gets a parking ticket.
Sure.
So if you're planning on going to the show, that'd be pretty smart to get that. That way you don't have to get no parking ticket around campus.
Yeah.
But that's about all I got.
Colby, appreciate the time, man. No Thanks problem. A lot. Yeah.